Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 3 as we make our way through this prophet of Ezekiel. And for this reading, I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 15. If you were to divide this chapter up, it divides in two parts, actually down to verse 14. And the first part speaking of Ezekiel as God's messenger, and then from verse 15 to the end of the chapter, Ezekiel is God's watchman. So we'll just take the first part of the reading here, verses 1 through 14, how Ezekiel is described as God's messenger to declare God's word. And so we read in verse 1, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, that is to digest, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Now we know this is speaking metaphorically. I don't imagine that the Lord was telling Ezekiel to take a literal scroll that had just been written and swallow and eat it, because if he had, we wouldn't have what's written here. It'd be gone. But metaphorically, when he describes him as needing to eat this particular scroll, as we saw already in chapter 2, written on both sides. Typically a scroll was just written on one side, but what this is describing is God's decree and providence and what he's ordained, that it would be filled on both sides, like the book in Revelation chapter 5 that John saw. That means that every detail of what was to come to pass, God had already decreed it. That's what this scroll is about. And now, in front of him, he's commanded to eat it. Eat it in the sense that he was to make it part of his very being. I liken this to a preacher. He's not just standing up to give information to the people, but literally to eat these words, just like I'm now preaching for you, declaring to you what I have eaten. And that's necessary, because you cannot preach to others what you yourself have not known from God's word. And so we find Ezekiel here in obedience, in verse 2, opening his mouth. And notice, he caused me to eat. So this is the Lord bringing home this word to Ezekiel's heart. And certainly everything that we're going to see in the rest of this book comes out of what the Lord was pleased to reveal to Ezekiel. You can't preach what has never been revealed in you. That's why a lot of people ask, well, it's so plain that the scriptures have to do with Christ, why aren't preachers preaching it? Well, they've never partaken. Their eyes have not been opened. They're reading this as natural-minded people, and yet it takes the Spirit of God. But you can see that this was not to be just a superficial partaking of this word, because he tells him there, fill thy bowels. That's why you eat. You eat till you're full, till there's satisfaction. And so here the Lord is literally saying to him to fill his stomach with this word. That's what the scroll represents. Ezekiel wasn't merely to taste it or sample it, but this being God's written revelation, he was to fill himself with it, especially because it was from God. That's another problem today in most places of worship, how little respect is given to the Word of God. I've had people that have commented about how we worship here. There's not any special music production where you've got different ones coming up to stand in front of the people and perform. We have congregational singing, and it's beautiful to be able to hear. And that's how the church of old sang. There wasn't any kind of musical production going on, but I'll tell you, it was full of the Word and the reading of the Word. And from beginning to end, whether it's the reading of the Word, the preaching of the Word, it's the Word. And that's what we need. We need a word from the Lord. But that's not of interest to a lot of people. When they come sit and listen, after a while, they're gone. And they're better gone than staying, making everybody else miserable, if that's really not why they're here. We're here to hear the Word, a word from the Lord. And so I love how it's written here. You know, when the Lord reveals His Word in the heart, it is sweet. He says there, "Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." God caused Ezekiel to take this unusual food of His Word and to eat it, especially when He's pleased to reveal Christ in us. How sweet. I love it. Now that my eyes have been opened, to go back and start in Genesis all the way through the Scriptures, what's not to like? The sweet pictures that we see of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see a lot coming through Ezekiel here. A lot of people read this and think, oh, that's future times, and they try to put it down the line somewhere. It's all about Christ. He's the one who is sweet as honey in the honeycomb. And this is what Ezekiel now, in reading it, is going to be caused to see and to rejoice in. There are bitter parts of the Word, for sure, but when you see how they are fulfilled in Christ, how sweet they are. And so here in verses 4 through 9, remember, Ezekiel is being raised up to go out with a very difficult message. And I find that, for me, this is sweet to read this Word and see of Christ. But when you go out and begin to preach what's here, you're going to find out not a lot of people interested. They love to come and hear about times and seasons and prophecies and miracles and healings and all these things. But when you stand and declare the Word, which is Christ the Word, and His work accomplished for sinners, a lot of people are like, oh, hum. But I'll tell you, that's what these prophets were about. They had in them the Spirit of Christ. And so the Lord says to Ezekiel here, "He said unto me, Son of man, go get thee up into the house of Israel and speak," what? "With my words unto them." Didn't even send them out to free will. No, this is His words. "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel." He's not sending him out to preach to the Babylonians, because remember, Ezekiel at this time was already taken captive. That's where he is, up in Babylon. But he said, "I'm not sending you to those of a strange language, but to the house of Israel." Well, where was the house of Israel? The Lord was slowly bringing it His way. He had literally a captive audience, because Babylon was going down, Nebuchadnezzar, and bringing Israel out of Israel up there to where He was and around Him. And He says, "Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are," what? "Impudent and hard-hearted." That's why the Lord was taking them into captivity. In essence, He's saying the Babylonians were better than these people of Israel. "But behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. That's the same message that he gave to Jeremiah, didn't he? Don't look at their faces. I've preached in some crowds at times. You can see just teeth gritting and everything. I've had to focus on a back wall somewhere and just declare the word. All the while, you can see steam coming out of their ears, so to speak. They don't want to hear this message. But nonetheless, if the Lord sent you, you declare his word. So that's the message here that the Lord's given Ezekiel, that he would be strengthened for a very difficult mission, which the Lord was giving him. You're saying, well, the Lord had already taken them out of Israel into captivity. Why even preach to them? Well, again, the Lord is going to confirm his word even in the face of the most rebellious people that there are. And he's saying, had I sent you to these others, they might well have listened. Just like Nineveh, they responded to Jonah's preaching. But here he's saying that the people of Israel would be harder than even an adamant stone. But he's made Ezekiel to be harder than flint. And I've made your forehead. I love these expressions here. Made your face strong in the face of these to whom you will go to preach, though they will not hear you. Here's where we see Ezekiel as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was not deterred by men's favor or frowns. He came for one purpose, to glorify his Father. And Ezekiel, having the Spirit of Christ in him, certainly would have reflected our Lord Jesus Christ, who came unto his own received him not. But that's not the end of the story. As many as received him, John says, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why did any receive? It's because he gave them the power to believe and to receive. And so in verses 10 and 11, he says here, moreover, he said unto me, son of man. Again, that term is going to be repeated many times throughout this book. All my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. I've often said that in preaching, whether others hear or not, I need to hear it. I need to hear a word from the Lord. And whether others hear or not, I need to be blessed by this word. And then go get thee to them of the what? Captivity. So I said the Lord was bringing him a captive audience. He'd been taken out, but now he's bringing more. Unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. That's what it is to be a messenger of Christ. Thus saith the Lord God. We don't want to hear men's speculations or their theories about what God might be like, or what judgment might be like, or what Christ must have been like. All these, we need a word from the Lord. If it's not written here, then it's not to be declared. But if it is written here, then it is to be declared. And don't mess with it. And so there we read in verse 12, then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. See, whether men will hear or not, God's going to be glorified. And the temple would soon be destroyed. When Ezekiel was writing this, that third exile had not yet occurred. Nebuchadnezzar had not yet gone down into Jerusalem to destroy the temple. That would be in God's time. But that did come. But here, we see the conclusion of this vision that the Lord gave, revelation, when it says, then the Spirit took me up again, that should be a capital S there. I heard behind me a voice of great rushing saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Well, where was his place? That's that throne of glory. Same as Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6, the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And there were the cherubim that surrounded the throne. And night and day cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. What's the glory of the Lord? Wherever you see that in Scripture, that's Christ. So even though the temple would be destroyed, that doesn't mean there was no more glory. It was removed from the temple. But there's Christ on the throne, just like Isaiah. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, John said he was seeing Christ. Here, when it says, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place, it's all about him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. That's the vision that he saw in the first chapter of those cherubim that surrounded the throne of God and accomplished his purpose. And so the Spirit, capital S, lifted me up and took me away. And it's an amazing thing, he says there, and I went in bitterness. It's interesting, when he first ate this word, it was sweetness unto him. But now that he was to go out and to preach it, it was in bitterness. You say, well, that's the message of the gospel. It's bittersweet. It's sweet to be able to declare unto sinners the glory of Christ and his death and what he accomplished. But oh, how bitter to also announce that any that are not the Lord's, they stand in certain condemnation. And that's what he's describing here. I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit. Even here we see this with Ezekiel, knowing what he had to declare and yet at the same time knowing his flesh to be weak. That's what he's talking about there. And the heat of my spirit, and that should be little s, within himself. But what? The hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Oh, how the Lord strengthens his own to be the messengers of Christ in this day and age, just as it was with Ezekiel. And to know that he accomplished his purpose through men like Ezekiel that declared Christ well before Christ even came into this world. And to a people that were opposed and rebellious by nature. That's the way sinners are. Every time you go out to preach, you're preaching to a rebellious, wicked world. But God's purpose in preaching the gospel and preaching Christ is that he has those he will cause to hear. So that's why we're not to fear, look on their faces. There are those that won't hear, and they will stand in condemnation. But if any do hear, it's going to be because God in his mercy was pleased to reveal his son in them. And I'd like to believe that's why we're here. What keeps us separate in this world? It's the fact that it pleased God to choose us out in his electing grace long before we ever knew him, and sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt. And because of that, now drawing us by his spirit. At least that's why I'm here. All the glory belongs unto him. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, how precious it is. I pray that indeed we might be able to take it and eat it and digest it, and that in our very souls and hearts that it would be sweet as honey, especially as we see as we go along how all of this is to the glory and honor of your son, who would come many years later, and yet you raised up Ezekiel to be as a type and picture of your son in his generation, even as Christ was in his generation. And that though he came unto his own received him not, yet there were those that by your Spirit you caused to receive him and rejoice in him. And it was for them that he came and laid down his life. And oh, what a blessing to be one of them by your grace alone. We give you the praise and honor in Christ's precious name. Amen.